Chapter 16. He gave them a message. Ezekiel 3, verse 4. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. The Old Testament illustrates the New, and the New Testament explains the Old. In this portion of Ezekiel's vision, God tells Ezekiel that he proposes to bring forth a ministry that would truly be the voice of God to his people. Peter writes in his book, chapter 4 and verse 11, If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Apostle Peter, when writing this first epistle, uses the strong word oracle to define what oration a minister of God should give. In effect, Peter wrote the same thing that God said to Ezekiel when he said that if or when a man speaks to a people, he must speak as if God himself was speaking through him. In Peter's day, idolatry and temple worship were extremely prevalent, and people went to the temple to ask their priests and the holy women to get a prophecy directly from their idol god for them, because in those days most religious temples provided what they called oracles. The priests often slept in the temple, and they would receive money to bring a word that supposedly came to them directly from their gods. There is some evidence that they would even use drugs to induce a vision. But whether they did or not, they would try to have a dream or a vision and then come out and say to the person that gave them the money, this was what the gods showed and said to them. At times, the heathen priests would perform various ceremonies to induce in themselves trances, and supposedly thereby receive a message directly from their gods in this manner. That is what the word oracles meant, and how it originated. It meant a message God gave directly to the priest, especially for an individual. Ezekiel was told to go to Israel and speak only the words God gave him to speak. He was to be their true oracle. In order to be able to receive the word directly from God, would certainly require prayer, quiet waiting, and careful listening. Otherwise, any message the human mind put together would be nothing more, at best, than the exercise of human wisdom, and definitely not a prophetic word from God to the people. It is relatively easy to put together a nice-sounding pseudo-message filled with nice psychological prognostications and silvery platitudes that everyone desires to hear. Encouraging words of better things to come, good fortune, happiness ahead, praise and compliments. Words that any successful fortune teller has well marked in his repertoire. For many years in the Church of England, any man with the right political or family connections could be hired as a church minister or vicar and earn himself a comfortable living and receive his remuneration from the government. Or at times, some wealthy landowner would have a church on his estate and would hire the vicar or minister to hold weekly services in that church and do the priestly duties required. The vicar need not have to be much of a preacher or even have a personal regeneration experience. All he needed was to have studied a bit of theology, know how to give a good homily, and attend the church service of Sunday. It was not a difficult task and considered to be an honorable way to earn a living. He need only preach a sermon on Sunday, attend a few weddings and funerals, and the rest of the week he was free to enjoy his hobbies or whatever else he desired to do. However, that is not the way God will have his chosen ministers to be or work. Ezekiel, you speak my word to the people. Therefore, a giant question arises. Just where and how was he going to get the words from God? That is the question that every man of God, whom God sends on a commission, must surely answer. Furthermore, God will not send forth and commission a man until he has learned to answer that question truthfully. He defined the orders. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto me. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. God let Ezekiel know specifically what he wanted him to do. There are many ministries in God. In fact, no two ministries or ministers are exactly the same. God does not make exact duplicates of anything. Every minister has differences of gifts and the manner in which those gifts are manifested, as well as each person that ministers his word is a unique individual with his own distinctive personality. One most unusual but very fruitful work was done by a man that felt called of the Lord to spend 20 years organizing all the verses of the Bible word by word. He spent countless tedious hours daily for about 20 years. His name was James Strong, and his giant task was compiling a Bible concordance. However, countless and very thankful Christians have been blessed by that ministry. Few men indeed would even desire to spend 20 weary years of their life fulfilling that calling. Nevertheless, it was a valid ministry and has reached far beyond where he thought it would reach and has been a great blessing to thousands and thousands. James Strong built no mega church. He held no grand evangelistic crusade. He was not highly esteemed by his countrymen. However, he obediently fulfilled the task God gave him to do. In many countries of the world, the people of that land have a Bible in their own language. In every case and in each language, someone had to spend many weary hours translating and writing that Bible. I am very thankful that I did not have to translate the Bible into Spanish, a task far beyond my capabilities and foreign to my makeup. But I am very thankful for the Spanish Bible that I used and loved for many years. Such ministries are certainly valid ministries, fulfilled as a direct obedience to the divine command to their life. God defines his orders to his servants and tells them what it is he wants them to do. St. Paul unceremoniously was thrown off his horse by the power of the light that came down from heaven. Laying there on the ground and looking up to heaven, he said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" In other words, define my orders and I will obey. Many people and ministers have a very narrow view of serving God. Most people think of it as preaching sermons or going to the mission field and teaching poor, ignorant natives to read and write and tell them about Jesus. However, the true man of God must have received, someplace along the path of his life, specific orders that sent him to his task. Driving down the road one spring day, I saw this big, beautiful green pasture in which was but one horse only. This horse had the entire pasture all to himself. But no, in his fear that outside its own pasture there was something yet more wonderful to eat. It had pushed its head through the barbed wire fence and was reaching out as far as it could. Incidentally, getting its neck cut with a barbed wire in the process, it busily ate weeds on the outside. I thought to myself, silly horse. It seems to me that I have seen you someplace before. So many people think that what God has given the other person to do or live is so much better than their own. A weed is a plant out of place. And if one is reaching through the fence and eating someone else's field, he is going to be eating weeds because he is out of his own place. The ministry of a man of God should be definitely ordered of the Lord. There was a certain man that felt ashamed that he was ministering in the United States because, at that time, he was working with a denomination that had a surfeit of preachers. There were listed in the denominational manual 8 ordained ministers for every church in that beautiful sunny state of California. Strangely enough, those Alabama statistics were not true in cold, snowy Montana. Probably because that was a cold, wintry region. Whatever the reason, there were churches in Montana without any pastors. This man desired to leave the nice sunny climate of California and go to the mission field, but he knew he dared not go without orders. Therefore, he earnestly sought the Lord for several months, and the last few weeks he became very concerned, as he had as yet had no directive word from God concerning this desire. However, the day came when God spoke clearly to him and gave him specific orders, opened the way, and sent him to his preordained field. God made clear to Ezekiel that a foreign land with people of a strange language was definitely not the place for him. He was not sent to be a missionary and work on a mission field. He was specifically sent to his own people. But God's word received from God would bring forth fruit even though rejected by his own people. Just as Isaiah claimed in his writings in chapter 55 and verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Amy Carmichael, who spent her whole life ministering to children in India, wrote, and I quote, "God has never promised his servants success, but he has promised hard work and demands obedience and does not pay much attention to your reputation," end of quote. Although God does not promise success, nevertheless, he does promise rewards to his laborers. God sent the martyr Stephen to a ministry similar to Ezekiel's. The Holy Spirit gave Stephen a prophetic word that not only was rejected, but the word greatly angered and even murderously enraged his audience, and they were made up of his own people. Like Ezekiel, Stephen was sent to a people that would not listen to him because they were inhabitants of a rebellious house. It is a high honor to be trusted with such a difficult ministry. To say the least, such a ministry would be too discouraging for most people for them to be able to handle it. However, God still sends men and women into those same conditions today as he did in former years. They are sent by the Lord of the harvest into fields where they may labor year after year in the midst of people that hate the very sight of them. If perhaps one does receive the message, he may very well become martyred for his faith. A call to such a difficult mission field takes great faith to obey and bring forth the word of God to those rebellious people. Such a calling demands that a man of God must seek the Lord to be able to speak his word and yet know at the same time that they will not enter into the heart of the hearer. What a temptation to say, "If they're not going to listen, why should I spend all the time and effort, prayer and tears to bring forth the word of God to them?" Ezekiel was just a young man, just starting out to be a prophet when God gave him such a definition of what his ministry was going to be. He was assured that he would not have many converts or build any churches or have people sitting in his home hungrily awaiting the word of God. It is quite probable that a modern missionary board would have called Ezekiel home and branded him as a failure. What challenge it was to young Ezekiel to be told by God ahead of time that he would be sent to minister to a people that would not listen to him. Then, added to that sad fact, he was told that they were rebellious and were from a rebellious house. One thing for certain, Ezekiel would not be successful in winning souls, building a church, or even having much fruit for all his labor. In fact, Ezekiel definitely would not live to see a revival in his day. Then further, God revealed that the task was yet more difficult because all the house of Israel are impudent, which meant that they will be hard, bold, and even violent. Furthermore, that they would be hard-hearted, stubborn, and rebellious. They would surely make life grievous and miserable for Ezekiel. Yet God said, he was sending him to them. Every Christian would be glad to be servants of God if they were guaranteed to be in the limelight and be quite successful in the eyes of men. Oswald Chambers wrote in his book, My Utmost for His Highest, said that everyone would be willing to be martyred for God if he could choose the time, the place, and the congregation, so that those chosen people could see how greatly we suffer for our cause. God is true, although every man a liar. One of God's purposes in sending his prophetic word to rebellious man is to vindicate his character and his word. Many times God sends his prophetic word even when he knows ahead of time that that word he gives would not be received or believed. Nevertheless, God sent that word so that it could never be said that God had never warned or informed the people of trouble to come. A certain missionary held some revival meetings for a young pastor and his wife, and there was a very large increase in that church. One day, one of the older missionaries came and said to him, "Why in the world are you helping that young man build his church? Don't you realize that in time he will turn and rend you?" The missionary replied, "Yes, I know that. And furthermore, I will guarantee that within 24 months he will peel, hang, and nail my hide to the barn wall and shoot rock salt at it. But for now, I must go and bless him, for God has sent me to him." Actually, it was less than 24 months before that missionary was ordered to leave and never come back again to that church, and his ministry was totally repudiated. However, that ministry was necessary because God will always vindicate his attributes of mercy, grace, and long-suffering disposition towards his children. In effect, God said to Ezekiel, "I am going to send you to those people, and you are going to give my words to them. They will not listen to you, but never mind whether they will hear or whether they will refuse to listen. I know already that they are a rebellious house. Nevertheless, the time will come when they shall know there has been a prophet amongst them. They can never say, 'God, you never warned or told us. You never gave us a chance to repent and thereby escape your wrath.'" That vindication of his merciful nature is very important to God because he will never be censurable of failing in mercy or lack of compassionate forewarnings. In this our day, God has graciously provided faithful radio and television ministries to reach a vast audience of listeners. Tens of thousands of people look and listen to the message of the merciful gospel of Christ every day. And every day there are countless numbers that will laugh, reproach, and criticize both the message and the messenger. Nevertheless, God has been faithful to let those same people know of his love and grace and warn them of the awful judgment that is coming to this world. This aspect of the work God gives to his servants is just one of the wonderful things about the divine nature, and also one of the important purposes of ministry. Later on in the life of Ezekiel, God said to him, "But if the watchmen see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 16. Many times, one who has received the divine warnings will turn vindictive and rise against the faithful messengers, twisting and distorting the very words of the message, turning it even into a weapon. They will do so because they are so rebellious against God. Nevertheless, a man of God must be a faithful witness and bring the word of truth to them regardless of what they will do with it. Neither Ezekiel nor Jeremiah were ever received as prophets of righteousness in their own day and amongst their own nation. In their day, they were known as false prophets, and in the eyes of their countrymen, ministerial failures. However, their life and ministry was neither lost nor wasted, because God picked up their writings and put them in the book of eternal truth to help, warn, and bless all men for as long as man inhabits this planet. To be a man of God does not signify that he will be a highly successful or world-renowned prophet or minister. But a man of God must only obey and do what God sends him to do, whether his word is received or not. However, the God that sent forth the word will see to it that it accomplishes all the fruit for which it was sent. And those that bear that word will be rewarded for their faithful obedience, whether the obedience builds up a people into becoming a people of God, or whether it tears them down to judgment and destruction.